Matt Johnson back with more coverage from the 2019 UMAC Men's Soccer Tournament Championship game. And I'm now joined by Yellow Jacket head coach Joe Mooney. And coach, this is our last broadcast with you, regardless of what happens for the year. So, or from here on out, I should say. So it's kind of an overview type of interview. We'll talk about the season as a whole here. I know you've been pretty happy with what you've seen. Expected it to be a strong team. You did repeat as conference champions regular season again, so that's nice. Looking for a third straight trip to the NCAA tournament, obviously, here today against St. Scholastica. But just give us a feeling about how you feel like the season has gone overall. I know you guys have had some bumps in the road. There's been a few injuries to guys, especially in the back four. But as we talked about last game in the semifinal round the other day, you guys were able to overcome that. You guys are on a nice, really, really, really nice run defensively right now. I mean, that's now seven shutouts in the last eight games that you've won. So just give us a sense on how you feel like the journey has gone for your guys and how you feel like the team has progressed as the 2019 campaign has gone along here.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Yeah, I think it's been a good progression. You know, I think we started out pretty strong, even in the preseason. I think we looked really good. You mentioned some of the injuries that we sustained kind of early on in the year that, you know, kind of made it a bit tumultuous during the middle of the year. But I think our team overcame a lot, and now we're getting guys back and healthy again. And, you know, as we've added that, you know, that element in, we've become even more, you know, more deep. And I think that's helped us a lot. You mentioned, you know, some of the defensive abilities that we've shown here in the last few games. I think that's been kind of a key for us to find the success that we want to find. I think we know that as we go deeper into November here, we're going to see more and more prolific, you know, goal scoring teams that can punish us if we're not at our defensive best. And you know, today is one of them, obviously, with Scholastica. So you know, I think it's been important for us to kind of shore up that back line and really kind of all components of it.
You know, it's been interesting for me to watch it from afar. You've had four different guys actually play that left outside back position. Felix Blick, the senior from Sweden, has kind of held down the right outside back position. And, of course, we talked about the fact that you lost Scott Wilson for a while at the beginning of the year. Now he's back and fully healthy. But, you know, all things considered, you know, the fact that you've had three or four different guys start that left outside back position during the year, and you've still been able, like I said, to maintain this. I know I'm kind of repeating myself from the last time we chatted, but it really is impressive. And you got another guy in there that played a few minutes back there against Martin Luther in the semifinal round the other day. And Carter Tess, who's a freshman, came and played about 55, 60 minutes at that outside back position. You know, you started Blake Hansen there, moved him around a little bit, but it must be somewhat comfortable for you to know that you can move guys around on that spot because Flavio has started there, Blake has started there. Carter played a lot of minutes there. So you've been moving guys around on that spot, and it's been kind of an interesting kind of, I think, summary or kind of a microcosm of your team to see how that position has actually kind of evolved during the season here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it shows there's some depth within the team. We've got a lot of guys that are pretty versatile. You know, with Blake Hansen, I think he's probably the guy that we're going to go forward with, you know, continue to go forward with. But, you know, we really wanted to take a look on Wednesday to see could we get him back in the forward line at all. And I thought Carter played well. Flavio has been an asset for us all year long. I think that, you know, Blake just is some of his defensive positioning, his tenacious nature, you know, makes him a natural fit in that spot. But I would feel confident with any of our guys that have played there going forward, you know, if we found a need that we had to put him in those spots. You know, I don't think it would hurt Blake's feelings if we did get him back into the forward position here as we go forward. I mean, obviously, when he got up there on Wednesday, he scored, you know, kind of in his debut back up there. So, I mean, he shows his value really all over the field. And again, it's just, I think it's a good sign of the versatility that we have and some of the depth that we have.
You know, one of the questions coming into this year for you guys, really one of the only questions, what was going to happen in the midfield? Because you lost your two starting center midfielders from last year. I know you moved some guys around. I mean, Danny Kearns came back into the fold after missing last year, so that was a nice welcome addition, obviously, to kind of solidify that midfield position a little bit. But another guy who's been moved around quite a bit but has really, I think, adjusted well is Blake Doye. He was a guy that played forward, you know, his first kind of stint as a Yellow Jacket the first year or so. He played up at a forward slot. And now you've kind of moved him into a midfield role, and now these last few games with some of the injuries that you've had with James Bruce being out of the lineup for a while, moved him back up to forward. Seems like his game has really progressed as well this season.
Yeah, he's been fantastic for us, and I think he's, you know, back home up in the forward position. But he's another guy that stepped up, and, you know, as we kind of tinkered with the midfield early on in the year, you know, he was more than willing to get back and into a number 10 or even a number 8 role and you know, really do a job for us. But I think, you know, if you look at kind of like where is he most naturally fit in, and where can he be the most prolific and dangerous, it's going to be in one of the front three spots. And so I think we've developed a nice chemistry with him, you know, you look at Watson, you look at Perry, and then Doye. You know, it's been a good chemistry here over the last few games. We're seeing more dynamic movement out of them, more dangerous runs, and just dangerous play overall. You know, and then obviously if we do get Brucey back to full, you know, strength here at a point, I think he just comes in and adds more depth. And you saw it even on Wednesday. I don't think he's, you know, at 100% yet, but, you know, he was, you know, inches off of a couple goals at points during the game. So he's a guy that, you know, you expect once you get him back to full strength, he'll be able to jump in right away as well. So, again, I think it just speaks to the depth we've got.
Obviously, and also Miguel Ocampo, would be remiss if we didn't at least mention what he's done. He's had a really good year, obviously. You know, and you and I talked about him off air against Martin Luther, and it was one of the better games that he's played. So shout out to Miguel Ocampo as well, because he's really helped solidify the midfield position as well. But that forward line that you have up top, started out with James Bruce, Eric Watson, and Blake Perry. Those were the three that we thought we were going to have. Move Blake Doye up in that spot once Brucey got hurt a little bit or dinged up a little bit. But they've been as good as advertised, really. I mean, I know expectations were high for them, but boy, they really have stepped up, the two of them. Both of them are in double digits in scoring, easily in the double digits in scoring. And especially Blake Perry, that sophomore year, he's really kind of stepped up and really become much more of an aggressive playmaker this year, and it's been kind of a joy to watch him play.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it. I'll go back briefly back to Miguel Ocampo and just, I think, what a year he's had as a junior here and really stepped up. And you know, he's always been a guy that can come on and provide a spark, and you see some of his creativity. But there's a difference in that and in starting a game and really trying to establish a rhythm and establish a tempo. And he's been really good at that. And you saw, I think, on Wednesday just the way he worked back defensively as well at times. You know, not always, not every number 10 does that as well as he does. And showed some of his tenacity there, so it was great. You mentioned the other two guys up in the forward line. Obviously, Eric Watson, we've talked about, you know, all season long and what he's meant to this program. And then you mentioned Blake Perry at the end. And, you know, I think, you know, you look at just kind of what he does creatively. And just I think he's a guy that the opponent has to account for at all times, you know, and if their starting position is too high, he's going to get in behind you. If you get him too much space, he's going to cut in and he's going to beat you that way. He's a guy with a lot of tools, you know, at his disposal, and he shows it. And he's not a guy that, you know, kind of hides in big games or anything like that. He's a guy that wants those big games and those big moments, and he always seems to come through. So, yeah, I mean, as a sophomore, I'm really proud of the way that he's progressed. And, I mean, if this is any glimpse of what he can do for us, you know, long term, like, I mean, obviously we'll be very happy. But right now I think, you know, he's just – he's done a good job of not really letting like outside expectations get to him too much. It's really, I think, just him kind of hold himself accountable for his own performance and play. And he shows it day in and day out. And he steps up in big moments. So yeah, we're obviously very proud of him.
And we would also be remiss if we didn't say a word or 10 in this case again about Eric Watson again. You know, Waddy's coming to the end of his career now. You know, regardless of how it turns out here, either today or down the line, hopefully in the NCAA tournament, you know, what a career he's had. But, you know, the award he won the other day, the academic award that he just won like a day ago, I think it was actually, says so much about him. You know, forget about the 15 goals that he scored this year and the fact that he's your leading goal scorer, career-leading goal scorer, but he's just an outstanding student-athlete. I mean, we talked about in the podcast with you earlier in the year. We talked about in a couple of the interviews this year, but, you know, what an ambassador he's been for your program in his career.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, I think we could spend, you know, quite a bit of time talking about Waddy. And again, I mean, it's as a player, you see him on game day, what he does for us. You know, you mentioned the 15 goals, career, you know, goal-scoring leader, all that. But he provides so much more value to our program, to our team, based on just his leadership. And you mentioned it in terms of being an ambassador for the program. You know, if you wanted to shape the identity of your program around one person, you'd look to a guy like Eric Watson. And so, you know, I think he's done some things here that obviously, you know, we don't want to think about this now, but at some point when this journey ends, like, we're going to miss him big time. But I think he's left such a legacy and he's left such a mark on the program that you'll see the culture continue to carry on, you know, sort of the identity that he's brought to it.
Well, Coach, it's been a joy to watch your team this year. Obviously, we wish you nothing but continued success in the future. And hopefully you'll get that third straight trip to the NCAAs and then maybe do a little damage there. So, like I said, continued luck, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate it.
That was Yellow Jacket head coach Joe Mooney. I'll be right back with more coverage of the 2019 UMAC Men's Soccer Championship game. Right after this, this is Yellow Jacket Men's Soccer on 91.3 FM, KUBD West Superior.